Howdy. Greg Swan here from selfadoration.com. I wrote a book called Man Alive, a Survival Manual for the Human Mind, and this is my semi-sort of weekly movies talking about ideas, especially about self-adoration, but about especially also about common impediments to self-adoration, the barriers in the mind that you erect in order to avoid living up to your own values, avoid doing as you know you should. It's kind of sermonizing, isn't it? It's Sunday. Sunday's a good day for sermons, but the title of this particular movie might well be Greg's Atheism. It's something that I've been meaning to talk about for quite a while. It came up when Man Alive was first published. A number of people who read the book objected to the fact that I go so easy on religion in the book, and I do. I mean, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in any sort of supernatural phenomenon. I don't believe in anything that I can't prove, frankly. I don't believe in anything that I cannot validate with my own senses. And I am hugely skeptical of all sorts of outrageous claims, especially claims about human behavior, because frankly, that's the only thing that anybody makes any stupidly outrageous claims about is human behavior. I mean, obviously, every religion has a origin myth, the creation of the universe, how the universe came into existence, but that doesn't really matter. They do that because they have to fill in the gaps. If they don't answer those questions, then people move on to the next religion. But really, religion, philosophy, academia, every sort of doctrine or dogma that you could name is concerned with human behavior. That's all it's concerned with. And what it's really concerned with is convincing you, in particular, to betray your own values in favor of the values of the person who's promulgating the doctrine. That's the purpose. That's what it exists for. And I don't believe any of that shit. But I know a lot of religious people who I think are decent, honest, forthright people of fine character, and I do not hold their beliefs against them. Whatever they choose to believe, that's their business. If they expect me to agree with some proposition that they put forth, then I demand, insist that they back it up with the proof that I can validate, and if they can't do that, then I won't credit their claim, but I don't have to. And what really matters to me about other people is not what they believe or what they say they believe. What matters about them is what they do. And I get along really well with a lot of people who are personally religious in their personal views, religious inside their own minds. But I get along with them not because they're religious, I get along with them because they behave very, very well. This comes up this week in particular because our friends in the Middle East, the lifelong victims of Islam, have elected to put on another display of anger and impotence. Killed an ambassador and his palace guard and dragged them through the streets and degraded themselves in hugely, outrageously disgusting ways. And, you know, regarded this as being some kind of a celebration while they're drunk on the act itself, while they're drunk on the atrocity, then they're jumping up and down and cheering and mugging for the cameras and things like that. But these people have permanently damage their lives forevermore. They will never eradicate those scenes from their memories, and they will never, ever, ever be able to rationalize them. They will never be able to say that this was an act of justice. They know it was a huge injustice. And that's really a shame. And this is what kind of, I guess, where I draw the line is your personal beliefs, what you say you believe in terms of imaginary universe creators that you can't document or demonstrate in any way at all. I really don't care. I really don't care. But as soon as you start acting out on those beliefs, all of a sudden I care a great deal. And the more coercive, the more violent, the more atrocious your behavior, the more I care. And this, obviously, this makes Islam potentially the ugliest religion in history. I mean, Judaism, the Judaism of Leviticus, or the Christianity of the Dark Ages are close contenders, but it's 2012. We have grown men, almost always men. I mean, there are always a few women involved and a lot of children, unfortunately. But practically speaking, grown men in 2012 acting as if it's the 7th century. Which doesn't excuse the behavior in the 7th century either, but at least you could argue, well, that's 15 centuries ago. That's a millennium and a half ago. People behaved differently then. Why are they behaving that way now? Because their religion is poisoning their minds. Their religion is killing them. Their religion is frustrating everything that they might have in their own lives, and still worse, practically speaking, is guaranteeing that their children's lives will be no better. And what is it that you're having children for if not to help them have a better life than you've had? What is it you hope for from your children? And there are people in Islam who hope their children grow up to be suicide bombers, homicide bombers. That my great hope for my child is that he will grow up someday to kill himself and a whole bunch of innocent people at the same time. This is revolting to me. And you know, different people value different things, and you can make any argument that you want for atrocious conduct. I dismiss it all. I do not want anything to do with it. But at the same time, I don't want to embrace the kind of anti-religious sentiment that we saw since 9/11, the so-called Four Horsemen, and I don't want to name them now. Dennett is one, and Sam Harris is another, and Christopher Hitchens, who all wrote books denouncing religion. Well, religion is too broad a category to be denounced. It doesn't mean anything. If you're denouncing theology, I'm with you all the way. Theology is a joke. Theology is nonsense. All of it is nonsense, completely indefensible. And I don't really particularly care which theology you're talking about, that every apocryphal document is equally fantastical, imagined, not even good fiction. The Song of Solomon is good sex. I kind of like that one, but apocryphal documents are idiotic, and you can easily prove this to yourself by reading any one of them other than the one that you embrace. So if you're a Christian, you can go read the Quran, or you can go read the Bhagavad Gita. I don't even know how to say it. Go read the Tao, and you will have no shortage of laughs, because this stuff is all ridiculous. It's all just completely insane. And as soon as you recognize that, as soon as you recognize that every apocryphal book that you can lay hands on is ridiculous to you except your own, at that point, if you are rational, then you have to say, hey, wait a minute, the book that I embrace, the Holy Bible or the Quran or whatever, is also ridiculous, is stupid. I mean, it's just stupid. It's a stupid waste of time. These are untenable claims, completely useless, intellectually useless claims. It's totally okay with me. As I say, I really don't care. I mean, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you say you believe. I care what you do. And if your actions are unobjectionable to me, then I don't have a problem with it. I really don't care, and it's none of my business, practically speaking. And when I take on theology, I'm taking it on as philosophy, and as philosophy, it's all just white noise. It's word salad. It's nonsense. It's complete nonsense. There's nothing defensible in it, to the extent that you could claim that, oh, well, the Jewish dietary laws do work out if you eat the meat. If you chop a leg off a goat and eat it and let the goat live and then eat some more of it, you're going to get sick. Well, yeah, that's pretty obvious. And God bless the Jews for working that out and writing it down. They saved thousands, millions maybe of lives over the centuries. But this is a rule of thumb. And rules of thumb are eminently useful, but they're not validated, and we can only validate things by going back to the object and figuring out what's really going on. And then we discover, oh wow, the goat is disease-ridden. Once you chop off a leg and leave it alive, it's going to be infested with all sorts of diseases that are going to eventually kill that goat, but if you eat it while it's still alive, it's probably going to kill you too. The trouble with all of this is not the content of your beliefs, and it's not the substance of your behavior. The trouble with it is what attitudes do you take about your life, yourself, your potency, your sovereignty, your indomitability? What conclusions do you draw about reality based on this doctrine? And the reason that I don't pick on religion too much is because, as far as I'm concerned, every doctrine is ultimately a religion in this respect. And so I pick on academia all the time, and especially on various flavors of determinism. I'm always picking on them because those are just an alternative religion. They are just an alternative, false representation of the nature of the human mind. And at that, as soon as I get to that level, as soon as I get to the level of doctrines that exist in order to lie to you about who you are and what you can do, they're all the same to me. There is no distinction to be made because they're all equally invalid. They are equally invalid. They cannot be demonstrated in reality. And the only philosophy that can be demonstrated in reality is the one that I'm propounding. Islam is an amazing failure at achieving success in human life. I mean, you can judge any sort of a doctrine, including self-adoration, as a doctrine. You can judge any sort of doctrine on how well it does at achieving splendor, human delight, happiness, joy, persistent, consistent rapture at being alive. And if you're looking at world religions generally, Islam has got to measure up as one of the worst, maybe the worst, at achieving splendor for the individual practitioners. And that's not true, obviously, of all of them. There's some who are very successful financially and plausibly very happy in their lives, but you look at that news footage from the Middle East, and these people are in a state of rage. And obviously it can't be continuous rage. Maybe it is, I don't know. Certainly the evidence that we have available to us kind of argues that there are people who live in a state of continuous rage as a result of their adherence to this idiot religion. But the everyday living circumstances of the typical victim of Islam are just terrible. And frankly, if you're looking for a correlation, our academics will jump in and make a correlation. If you're looking for a correlation between religion and flourishing, eudaimonia, happiness, joy, splendor, probably the best religion on earth is Reform Judaism. The Reform Jews do real well for themselves. I don't know that they're necessarily all that happy, but man, they are very, very successful. We don't have to worry about this correlation being made by academia, though, because academia, as a part of its religion, is persistently, if not overtly, anti-Semitic. And so they don't want to take note of the fact that Jews do well at anything. Half of all Nobel Prizes are held by Jews. Half. 2% of the world's population holds half of the Nobel Prizes. This is an amazingly successful religion. And obviously, again, it's not successful for everybody, but certainly at the top of the ziggurat, if you look at the top of any ziggurat except perhaps pro athletics or rap music, and that's not even true, the Beastie Boys, to the top of the ziggurat in rap music, if you look at the top of the ziggurat in just about any field of human endeavor, you're going to find a whole lot of Jews. God bless them. I mean, this is a wonderful religion. And the reason is really obvious. The Jews are the people of the book to Islam. That's what they're called, is the people of the book, and that's what they are. They were great lovers of the written word and scholarship in the written word and studying, devoutly studying these idiot apocryphal documents, but studying them very, very carefully and having ornate arguments about them. And Islam was founded by an illiterate. These people are the same, essentially the same genetically. I mean, they come from the same genetic stock that the people of the Arabian Peninsula are Semites, in the same way that the Jews are Semites. But when we say anti-Semitic, we're not talking about Arabs at all. We're only talking about the Jews. All of that doesn't, none of that really matters. It's all just comical to me. I get along very, very well with Jewish people. We share a whole lot of the same values. Obviously, I get along very, very well with Roman Catholics. I'm a cradle Catholic. I like Roman Catholics. They're not nearly as successful as Jews in general, but they are moderately successful, good, hardworking people, good neighbors, raise great kids. They take care of their houses, take care of their yards, love living around them. I live in Arizona. There are an enormous number of Latter-day Saints here, and I love them. I think they're great. They probably don't care much for me. I look like the Beverly Hillbillies to them, but I like them a lot. Again, you know, very fine, upstanding people who take good care of their homes and great neighbors, wonderful children. They raise beautiful, wonderful families of, you know, very committed, productive children. I love this. I love this. And the same thing for particular Muslims that I have known in my life. And I've worked with a number of them, and I've done, you know, I've helped Muslims buy and sell houses. And I like them. I mean, I really like them. The Apocrypha and the theology is insane, is completely nuts. The people are wonderful. They're very, very nice. And that would be my argument, frankly, to everyone. And again, I really don't care what you say about what you believe about an imaginary creator of the universe or his imagined properties. I don't care. But my argument to anyone, to everyone, and particularly to the victims of Islam, would be to embrace egoism, evangelize egoism, endorse, embrace, rejoice in, support, uphold, celebrate self-adoration, the total commitment of yourself, to your values, meaning your life, your home, your spouse, your children, your family, your job, your friends, the world that you live in, the people that you know, the things that you love, love those things. Love them completely. And don't ever let anyone tell you not to love them. And don't ever let anyone make you feel ashamed for loving them. And don't ever let anyone take them away from you without a fight. And certainly don't voluntarily surrender your values to some thug, whether he's a thug with a gun from a state or a thug with a book from a church, some thug coming to take everything that you love in the name of a ridiculous, indefensible, imaginary idea. That's absurd. That's insane. That's the nature of evil. That is evil. And the evil party involved is not the thug. The evil party is you. Because you are volunteering to destroy your own life in the name of some doctrine that you would have no problem identifying as completely ridiculous if it were somebody else's doctrine instead. If you were reading somebody else's apocrypha, reading somebody else's theology, you would have no problem whatever identifying that doctrine as being completely absurd. There are people who, all over the earth, all around the globe, there are people who have read Man Alive who are sharing it with people that they love. There are people who see these movies all over the place. They end up getting reposted in the strangest corners of the globe, and I think that's wonderful. I really think that's wonderful because the children of Greece are situated in the Northern Hemisphere, in large measure, Europe and North America, South America. And the children suffering under the vestigial influences of the East writ large are often in the Southern Hemisphere, or in places like the Arabian Peninsula or Persia. And it is of huge benefit to people living in those kind of circumstances to discover that the self-adoration that they have felt their whole lives and resisted and rebelled against and tried to suppress, tried to shout down, that that self-adoration is not only completely normal, completely natural, it is completely justified, it is completely appropriate to a human life. And every other ridiculous claim made by anybody's absurd doctrine is inappropriate to the uniquely human life. So that would be my... I have a cat here trying to get into my stuff. That would be my sermon for this Sunday, is believe what you want, but act for your own values. And the more that you act for your own values, the more that you support, embrace, uphold, rejoice, and celebrate your own values, the things that you yourself love, the more that you do that, the more that you will do it. And the more that you do it, the better you'll get at it. And the better you get at it, the more you'll do it, the better you'll get at it. Back and forth, on and on. This is a self-reinforcing praxis. And it's one that is most desperately needed where the forces of tyranny, again, whether it's governmental or religious tyranny, or academic tyranny for that matter, intellectual tyranny, it's most needed where those forces of tyranny are the strongest. And that's where you really need to fall back on your own resources and say, no, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine by right. You have no right to interfere with my life. You have no right to demand that I forswear my own values. You have no right to demand that I destroy my own life in your behalf. And I won't do it. I won't do it. When I spoke to the 21 Convention, I spoke to them twice, and the first video was lost, alas. So this is lost to antiquity. It will never exist, but I wish it did because it was fun. It was a lot of fun for me. But my entire speech was based around four words. The four words are, fuck you, I quit. If there are religious people watching this who can't stand to hear four-letter words, I do apologize. But if you insist to me that I'm not permitted to speak as I would, then my answer to you is, fuck you, I quit. And that really is a very, very powerful expression for you to master, because it is a way of making clear to other people not only that you are, as a matter of ontological fact, indomitable, cannot be dominated, but also that you know it. You know you are indomitable. And when you are met with a demand to suppress, forswear, renounce your own values, to damage or destroy your own life, to sacrifice the things that you love in behalf of some thug, you can always turn to that person and say, fuck you, I quit. Fuck you. And there may be consequences. I'm not going to tell you that there won't be, because there may be consequences. But guess what? At a certain point, you have to decide what matters to you more. Does it matter to you more that your pocketbook is intact, that you haven't been fined, or you haven't been arrested or jailed, that you haven't been tortured, that you haven't been murdered? Or does it matter to you more that you're in charge of your own life and your own values? Does it matter to you more that you are sovereign and indomitable and whole and perfect just the way you are? And I will tell you, there is some point at which that will matter to you more. There is some degree of torment that you would prefer to endure rather than to renounce your own self. And I can't tell you where that is, and I can't tell you when it will happen, but it will happen. There will come a point where someone will make a demand of you that you are not willing to cooperate with, that you are not willing to cave into. And at that point, the four words that will matter most to you in your life are, fuck you, I quit. And this is what I would say, frankly, to the sane people who are practitioners of Islam. That clearly there are enormous numbers of insane people who are practitioners of that religion and who will set no limits on the level of self-destruction that they're willing to achieve in order to prove their worthiness to their perverse God. But if you are not one of those people, if you are sane, then the appropriate thing for you to do right now, all over the world, if you're lucky enough to live in the United States or England or Europe or whatever, three cheers for you, but wherever you happen to be in the world right now, to go to your nearest insane imam and say, fuck you, I quit. This religion is nuts. And if somebody wants to start a sane mosque where we pray five times a day and, oh God, all of the silly things, this is completely alien to me, and you do it, you love it, your business. You want to start a sane mosque where we will worship and not dream about killing people or destroying things, then I'm in. But I will not participate in this any longer, and I will not give it any money any longer. And if that means that you are going to kill me as an infidel, have at it. Because I refuse to be a party to these atrocities. Fuck you. I quit. And the beautiful thing about that is, as soon as enough people do that, it's all over. The game is over. It's a completely different game. And the same thing is true in the United States. And this is something that the United States and all of the so-called Western democracies, etc., all of the ruling class should be tossing and turning night after night after night with those words ringing in their ears that someday they're going to issue a threat, because everything that we're talking about is threat-based, whether it's government or religion or academia. It's all threat-based. These are all threat-based teleologies. And any one of those people issuing those threats should be tossing and turning, laying awake all night, every night, wondering when they're going to hear those words. Fuck you, I quit. Fuck you, I quit. Fuck you, I quit. And when enough people say that, in whatever circumstances that they're in, the whole world changes. Just like that. Just like that. I do think it's funny, the threat-based nature of this stuff. You really don't hear it much among Christians. The Christians, Nietzsche said God is dead, and by that he didn't mean that there had once been an imaginary universe creator who had since expired. What he meant was that threats of heaven and hell are no longer all that useful in motivating people. You just can't say to someone, you know what, you drink too much, and if you continue to drink like that, you're going to go to hell. There are people who can be motivated by those kind of claims, but certainly educated people aren't moved by that, and we tend to use practical consequences or psychology or other disciplines in the modern world. These are all ridiculous anyway. It doesn't really matter. They're all threat-based. It's just a different set of threats. But Islam is really, really funny because we have these self-willed savages rioting in the streets in order to punish people for blaspheming their allegedly omnipotent God. Well, if their God is omnipotent, what does he need them for? What the hell does he need them for? I think it's just a perfect expression of the impotence of Allah. I'm sorry. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot have a super omnipotent creator of universes who was all-powerful and omniscient, omnipresent, can do anything, and yet he needs you to punish Americans for showing a lack of respect for your 7th century illiterate religion. And I don't want to pick on Muslims. I really don't. Like I said, the Muslims that I have dealt with personally have been wonderful people. They've been really sweet, wonderful people. And I'm assuming that that's true for, you know, 98% of all Muslims all over the world. But they have let their religion be overrun by the 2% who are completely nuts. And there is only one solution to that problem, and that solution is to say, fuck you, I quit, fuck you, I quit, fuck you, I quit. Me and Allah and our prayer rug are going home, and I will find a way to worship Allah in my own way, to my own satisfaction, but I will no longer lend my moral, intellectual, and financial support to crazy people. And if you're not willing to say that, then essentially you're one of them. You may be sane in your everyday behavior, you may be completely reasonable, but if you endorse insanity, you're a part of the insanity. You are part of the insanity. And I don't care what religion we're talking about now. Islam is in the news, and Islam is a particularly egregious example because it is so hostile to human sovereignty, to human nature as it really is. And all religion is hostile to human nature as it really is. And all doctrines, all dogmas, other than self-adoration, are hostile to human nature the way it really is, because that's what they exist for. They exist to get you to cheat yourself out of your values. And they're good at it. They have been enormously successful. But there's an easy solution to this problem. For you and for everyone in the world, there's an easy solution to this problem, and that is simply to look your despoiler right in the eye and say, fuck you, I quit. My name is Greg Swan. I publish a weblog called selfadoration.com. That's where you can find this movie if you're looking for it. I wrote a book called Man Alive, a survival manual for the human mind. It goes into not so much these ideas about religion, but just ideas about ideas in general. It's a book about thinking. It's a book about how to think better, how to use your mind better, what your mind really is, how it really works, and how you can use it better to achieve your values, to embrace and uphold and rejoice in and celebrate the things that you love, your life, your mind, your time, your work, your memories, your happiness, your family, your loves, everything that you love in the world, how to do a better job of honoring, preserving, protecting, and improving upon those things. And if you adopt the doctrine that I'm propounding, and I freely concede it, I am trying to change your behavior. I am showing you a different way to live, and I am trying to change your behavior. If you adopt that doctrine, you will achieve a mental state that I call splendor. You will achieve an unlimited human joy, an illimitable human joy, happiness beyond, I won't say beyond your ability to imagine it, because you've been imagining it all your life. I'm going to tell you, you can have it for real. It can exist for real in your life. And I know this because I live it. This is my life. This is the way I live it. I should be a Reformed Jew because I'm not all that successful financially. We just lost our house. I'm in a different house this week than I was in the last film that I made 2 weeks ago. And that it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, it's significant. It matters in the sense that it's stuff that I have to deal with. These are things that I have to address. But my own mental state is undiminished. To the contrary, I feel better than I did 2 weeks ago. I'm happier than I was 2 weeks ago. My marriage is better than it was 2 weeks ago. My life is better. Not because my financial life is in such great shape. To the contrary, it is not. But because my mental life is in such good shape. And it is in such good shape because I choose admirably. These are two words that I boiled down this week as a way of describing ontologically consonant teleology, choosing appropriately to your nature, choose admirably. And that's my argument to everyone, to every victim of every sort of doctrine, whether it's religious or political or academic or any other anti-human, anti-life, anti-self doctrine, is, as a matter of habit, choose admirably. And simply that, doing simply that, will make a remarkable difference in your life in very, very short order. I want to thank you so much for giving me your time and your attention. I know I am not easy to live with. Someone was complaining about the plunking of the guitar and deliberately making ugly noises. Somebody was complaining about the plunking of the guitar. I like it. It slows me down. It makes it possible for me to think without flying completely off the face of the planet. But at the same time, I also know that I'm talking about things that nobody wants to talk about. I talk about things that nobody wants to talk about. And I address exactly those subjects that you never, never, never permit yourself to think about. And these are the things that are most interesting to me. This is what's most interesting to me in the universe, are precisely those topics. And that's why I talk about them. And then I get you here into my clutches, into my spider's web, and I look you right in the eyes. And I tell you every secret. Reveal everything that you never want exposed. But here's the good news. I'm talking to you one-on-one, just you and me. Chances are you're sitting all alone at your computer. Who knows what hour of the day it is. And I'm just a video anyway. I'm not real. I'm real here, but I'm not real where you're looking at me. And I can't really see you, and I don't really know your secrets, and I'm not going to tell anybody anyway. But I'm providing you with an opportunity to take those issues on and to face them directly and to figure out what to do about them and to figure out how to do a better job. How to do a better job at being alive as a human being. How to do a better job at being alive as you, the unique person that you are. How to do a better job at loving your spouse and raising your children and honoring your parents and getting along with the people that you work with and doing a better job at the job that you have and doing everything that you do better simply by choosing to put your own self first, your own self-abstracted idea of who you are, put that first. And instead of constantly trying to negotiate the destruction of yourself with thugs, to instead work ceaselessly at constructing yourself, at building and burnishing and improving upon yourself, choosing admirably in every choice that you make. And this is the path that leads to splendor. And I want you to have it. I want you to live it. I want you to live that kind of serenity, that kind of joy, that kind of delight, that kind of ecstasy all the time. Here on earth, heaven on earth. Everything religion promises you as a gift when you die in exchange for everything that you really have. Well, I'm exactly the opposite. When you die, you're done. I don't care what happens. I don't believe anything will happen. I think your substance will decay and you'll smell bad for a while and then you'll blow away as dust. This is all that's going to happen to you when you die. But in contrast, I will offer you heaven on earth, a true, enduring, illimitable, uninterruptible heaven inside your own mind, if you will embrace yourself for what it is and act accordingly. Bless you. Thank you so much. Have yourself a great day, a great week. Have a great life.